Hare Krishna. We continue with Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, chapter 8, entitled Markandeya's Prayers to Naranarayana Rishi. Text 45. Please repeat responsibly. Sattvam rajastama iti shattavatma bandho.
Sattvam rajastama iti
Maya Maya Stiti Loyadya Hektavosya. Maya Maya Stiti Layodaya Hektavosya.
Maya Maya Stiti Layodaya
Hektavosya. Lila Drita Yat Apisatvamai Prashantyai.
Lila Drita Yat
Lila Drita Yat Abhisattamai Prashantai.
Lila Drita Yat Abhisattamai
Nane Nrinam Vyasana Moha Biyascha Yapyam.
Nane Nrinam Vyasana
Moha Biyascha
Yapyam. Satpam.
Ignorance.
Ignorance.
Iti. The modes of nature.
The modes of nature.
Thus termed. Isha.
Isha.
O Lord. Tava.
Tava.
Your.
Your.
Atmabandho.
Atmabandho.
O Supreme Friend of the Soul.
O Supreme Friend of the Soul.
Maya Maya.
Maya Maya.
Produced from your personal energy. Stitilaya Udaya of maintenance, destruction and creation. Etavaha, the causes Asya of the pastimes. Britaha, assumed. Yadapi, although. Sattvamai, that which is in the mode of goodness. Prashantyai, for liberation. Na, not. Anye, the other two. Vrinam, for persons. Vyasana,
danger.
Moha, bewilderment. Yaha and fear. Cha also. Yavyam from which? Translation. O my Lord, O Supreme Friend of the conditioned soul, although for the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this world, you accept the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance, which constitute your illusory potency. You specifically employ the mode of goodness to liberate the conditioned souls. The other two modes simply bring them suffering, illusion, and fear. Padrita indicate that the creative activities of the world, the creative activities of Lord Brahma, the destructive activities of Lord Shiva, and the sustaining functions of Lord Vishnu are all pastimes of the Absolute Truth, Lord Krishna. But ultimately only Lord Vishnu can award liberation from the clutches of material illusion, as indicated by the word Sattvamayi Prashantai. Our passionate and ignorant activities cause great suffering, illusion and fear. For us and others, therefore they should be given up. One should become firmly situated in the mode of goodness and live peacefully on the spiritual platform. The essence of goodness is to renounce selfish interests in all one's activities and thus dedicate one's entire being to the Supreme Being, Lord Krishna, who is the source of our existence. So these are the words of Markandeya Rishi. He addresses the Lord as the supreme friend of all conditioned souls. And he addresses the Lord that actually all the modes in this world are under his control. And goodness, passion and ignorance, they constitute his illusory potency. But specifically, mode of goodness, although it is one of the illusory potencies, it is a stepping stone to transcendence, to liberate the conditioned souls. Rashyam Chai, for liberation. The other two modes simply bring them suffering, illusion and fear. So, there is a nice verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, which states, the occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. In other words, all the activities that we may have in this material world are useless if they do not really produce attraction to the source of everything, Lord Krishna. Sometimes people go to school, children, maybe even students in the university. They enter into the classroom and they are in the classroom, but they are actually not in the classroom. They are completely absorbed in something else. They are thinking of some movie or something like that. Or perhaps of another subject, not particularly the subject that has been studied in that particular classroom. So what will happen to such a student at the end of the semester or at the end of the year? At the examination, that person will actually fail to pass the class, and he or she has to reappear in the same class with the students who are below that person, who are coming after him or her. So he has to appear in the same class and redo the same lesson. So this is actually reincarnation. This is world, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, is a classroom. It's an examination hall. So this material world is an examination hall. And it is worthwhile for all of us to understand what's the exam before we go for the exam. Because sometimes we got no idea what's the exam. And we sit in the examination hall and we have, for example, exam on the subject of maths, but we're actually thinking it's chemistry or physics, and we're writing something completely outside of the required subject. So, in this world, we need to be very careful to understand what is the purpose of life. We understand from Shastra that there are three modes of material nature that dominate our lives. And then ultimately, if we situate ourselves in one of these three modes or qualities of nature, we'll have a specific type of experience. So here Markandeya Rishi is saying that if you situate yourself in the lower modes, like ignorance and passion, you'll immediately be exposed to suffering, illusion and fear. And if you become situated in goodness, you get the opportunity to become actually freed or liberated from this classroom of reincarnation. So the idea is to come to the mode of goodness. Mode of goodness means to renounce selfish interest. Here Prabhupada says in this purport of the verse I just read, there are different occupational activities in terms of man's different conceptions of life. To the gross materialist, who cannot see anything beyond the gross material body, there is nothing beyond the senses. Therefore, his occupational activities are limited to concentrated and extended selfishness. Concentrated selfishness centers around the personal body. This is generally seen amongst the lower animals. Extended selfishness is manifested in human society and centers around the family, society, community, nation, and world, with a view to gross bodily comfort. So, Prabhupada here goes on to explain that there is different type of human beings. Some people on a very gross platform, anamaya, they are just thinking of how to get bodily comfort or food. They are just living for food. Prabhupada said that some people eat to live, but others live to eat. Is the platform of anamaya, where some people just live to eat. So this is a very low level of consciousness. That means the person doesn't understand the classroom and you'll fail the exam. So little higher than anamaya is actually pranamaya, when one actually starts to think in terms of strongly like I and mine. One has a residence, a car, and different facilities, and he or she protects these facilities at any cost. This is mine, I have to protect it. It's called pranamaya. So this is little higher than just looking for food, but it's still failing the class. It's not enough. Then there is jnanamaya. When people become speculators, they become little interested to know what other people know, what is going on around. They become little inquisitive, again with the aim of gratifying their senses and their body. Jnanamaya. So these are very gross levels of consciousness. Beyond that there is a anandamaya consciousness, where someone actually is trying to find higher happiness, and by investigating reality they are actually looking at understanding eternity, if there is such. And beyond that, actually there is vijnana understanding, which is actually real self-realization. So this classroom requires that we understand that from the very beginning of our conscious quest into this material energy in the human body, we are expected to understand what is the self and what is the super self. So this is really the classroom we are sitting in. So the materialists, the gross materialists, they have wrong conception of the self. They think the self is the body, therefore all the activities are centered around the body. So I was thinking once how when we wake up in the morning, usually, or at least materialistic individuals, persons, when they wake up in the morning, the first thought in their consciousness is, what am I going to do to please myself today? This is the first thing. How am I going to utilize this day for my own pleasure? How am I going to find happiness for myself today? So this is on a very low level of consciousness. Prabhupada said it's animalistic consciousness. There is immediate and extended selfishness, and beyond that we are entering into the self realm of selflessness. Sattva guna means to a very big degree selflessness. It is the stepping stone to transcendence. So sometimes people get confused that sattva guna means or ultimately selflessness means there is no self. So they become sunyavadi, nirvishesh, like they become voidists. They think that basically I have to merge into nothingness, because personality means selfishness. So they want to destroy the personality. But actually that is again materialistic concoction, because we see that personality does not mean immediately selfishness, but contaminated personality means selfishness. So what are the examples? The examples actually some of our great acharyas. We can use Prabhupada for example. Prabhupada actually suffered a lot. His own personal comfort was completely absent. He hardly slept, he hardly ate to actually benefit others. And although Prabhupada created an amazing society, international society, that spread to all the continents, all the major cities, and there was tremendous opulence that came due to Krishna's blessings, Prabhupada never considered this opulence his. He considered that this is Krishna's opulence, it must be used for Krishna. And there is a saying that Prabhupada was the same whether he was in a very palatial building, which the devotees purchased for spreading of the Krishna consciousness movement, or whether he was in a hut. He was the same. There was no difference. Prabhupada was never influenced by the external environment. One time Prabhupada was in Bhubaneswar. He went to see Gaur Govinda Maharaj. At that time he was still very young sannyasi, and he was just intending to build the temple there in Bhubaneswar. And Prabhupada went to see his disciple. And Prabhupada, the devotees sorry, Prabhupada is so amazing that the devotees actually had hired a hotel for him, some very expensive hotel. And Prabhupada said, I don't want to stay there. I just want to stay where my dear devotee is. So he went to Gaur Govinda Maharaj, who was actually living in a hut made of mud. So this is the glory of Srila Prabhupada. He always saw the devotion of the devotees, and he was only interested in the devotion. He wasn't interested in any kind of opulence for himself. So this is what we should become like. Another example is Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was actually tortured by his father like anything, but Prahlad never even considered his comfort. He was thinking, my father is just playing with me. He was not really affected by the discomfort that Hiranyakashipu was giving him. Similarly, Haridas Thakur was also beaten up so many different marketplaces, but Haridas Thakur never tried to escape or defend his body or something like that. He was just in the consciousness of Rakhi Krishna Marike, Mare Krishna Rakike. There's many examples, even from other traditions. although nowadays there is a lot of disrespect for Jesus Christ, so much speculation around that name, but Prabhupada quoted it many times that he was a pure devotee of the Lord. So he was also completely selfless, because whatever he did was always for the glory of the Lord, and he was never interested in any kind of material power and position and prestige and a lobha puja pratishtha. These devotees were ready to give their lives for the benefit of everyone else. Now that completely disproves the Shunyavadiya example, that personality immediately is connected to selfishness. This is not true. So personality doesn't mean selfishness, but when it's contaminated personality, then it's selfishness. So currently we are all contaminated, therefore the different modes are dominating our life, and sometimes we act in a mode of ignorance, sometimes in a mode of passion, sometimes in a mode of goodness. The modes are fighting with one another, and it is explained by Krishna that the modes are constantly fighting. So Lord Kapila Dev in Srimad Bhagavatam in the third canto, he says that even when a person comes to devotional service, these persons can also be contaminated by the different modes, like mode of ignorance, more of passion, more of goodness. So there is actually devotional service in the mode of ignorance. There is devotional service in the mode of passion. There is devotional service in the mode of goodness. So where do we stand as an individual? Which mode are we connecting to while we are in this practice of devotional service? So here we can see another example in 12th canto, Markandeya Rishi. He was completely transcendental, and because of his purity and pure devotion, he was not baffled by the attacks of Indra. Yesterday we heard from Bhakta Prabhu's reading how when Markandeya Rishi became very powerful due to his austerities, Lord Indra became immediately afraid, and as usual he created a plot to destroy Markandeya. So he said, sent Cupid, the god of lust, with many celestial dancers, beautiful ladies, and also the personification of envy and greed also came with him, trying to attack Markandeya Rishi. So although there was a sufficient opportunity for Markandeya Rishi to be defeated due to the prowess and the beauty of the celestial ladies, Markandeya Rishi was so much in devotion to the Lord. He so much understood the lesson of this classroom that he was never affected. So he passed the test. And when he passed the test, actually the Lord appeared before him as Narayan, Nara Narayan. And so these are the prayers actually of Markandeya Rishi. So this is another example that personality doesn't mean contamination, like a lot of people think these days. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. They think personality means immediately selfishness. Because they have only experienced selfish persons, they think every person is a selfish person. And therefore they try to negate, to become like nihilist, almost suicidal in terms of destroying their own spiritual personality. So, actually, Prabhupada created this society so that we really understand the lesson of this classroom, this examination hall. He created something called satsang. Satsang means eternal. Sangha. Sangha means community. Community of devotees that are actually expressing, practicing the expression of pure personality, devotional service to each other and to Krishna. So that's why we are calling ourselves, each other, Prabhu, because we see every person as an aspect of Krishna, and by serving Krishna's devotees, we are actually developing attachment to Krishna. We are reviving our original consciousness. Sometimes in devotional service, we can actually also miss the point. Like the Brahmanas who were worshipping Lord Vishnu, they were performing Yajna in Srimad Bhagavatam. So the cowherd boys asked Krishna, "We are hungry, please go and find food." They were one day in the forest. They were one day in the forest and they didn't have food that day by Krishna's transcendental arrangement. So the cowherd boy said, "Look, we are hungry. Please, can you help us and get some food?" Of course, the cowherd boys were not really hungry, but they were thinking of Krishna. They wanted Krishna to be pleased. So, and Krishna wanted to please the cowherd boys. So Krishna and Balaram went to the Brahmanas who were nearby performing Yajna in the forest, just outside of the village. And they asked them, "My dear Brahmanas, please kindly give us some food. We are just so hungry." And those Brahmanas said, "You know, we are so busy now doing some Yajna to Lord Vishnu. Just wait. Just wait some time. We have to finish this Yajna. It's very important." So they didn't actually serve Krishna and Balaram. They didn't even recognize who Krishna was. And when the Krishna and Balaram were rejected, then they went to the wives of the Brahmanas. And although they were engaged in many different household duties, they had also time frames of fulfilling their duties, and they had many different things, children, and to prepare things for their husbands, and so on and so forth. They immediately responded to the request of Krishna and Balaram, and they immediately provided some food for them. Which shows that actually the wives of the Brahmanas were much more exalted in terms of consciousness than the Brahmanas themselves. Although the Brahmanas were performing puja, yajna. Huh? So we have to be careful what kind of consciousness do we have. Because Krishna is Atmaram. He doesn't need anything. Sometimes we wonder why this devotee who did so much service, he's left the movement. It's because again he did not understand, he or she did not understand what this movement is all about. They didn't understand what the classroom was all about. So while they were in the classroom, they were doing something else, maybe doing drawing or painting at the last page of their notebook, you know. But the teacher was talking and they were kind of pretending to listen to him. So then they failed. This is because they might have done so much, but they had a motive, personal motive. Lobha, puja, pratishtha. Something was there. Desire for sense gratification. And they never really wanted to move away from that platform. They didn't see that they were on that platform. They didn't want to move away. So then they got destroyed. Perhaps they never heard the voice of their spiritual master, the voice of the other devotees, the voice of Paramatma. They just carried on doing what they want to do. Bhaktivinoda Maharaj said that in order for you to advance in Krishna consciousness, you have to be hungry. You have to be greedy for coming to the lotus feet of Krishna. And he said, it is just like that. He gave one very simple example. He said, if someone is full of junk food, he ate some junk food on the street, if you offer him prasadam, you'll reject it. You understand? Because he has taken junk food on the street, so he's full of junk food, his stomach is full. So if you offer him prasadam, you'll say, "No, I'm fine." Actually, you can go in the street and sometimes you try to give free prasadam. Many people think, "No, I'm not hungry." You know, because they don't understand what it is. So in the same way, if we get stuck in Krishna consciousness on some level, not understanding that there is higher and higher levels, we're just going to go into a loop, into a vicious circle that ultimately will backfire on us. Krishna's mercy is extremely powerful, and if we don't approach it in a proper humility, in a proper transcendental greed or desire to serve Krishna selflessly, that same mercy can electrocute us like electricity. If you touch electricity, you get electrocuted. So the same mercy, if you approach that mercy in proper consciousness, it uplifts you. But if you approach it in a wrong consciousness, it destroys you. The same mercy. If you approach it in a mood of arrogance, selfishness, trying to always get to see what is there in it for me. What can I get out of this temple for myself? If you think like this, then immediately that mercy turns into the opposite and it will electrocute us after some time. Gokishore Das Babaji Maharaj said that if you try to cheat Krishna, you can never do it because Krishna is the greatest cheater. If you try to serve Krishna with the material desire, Krishna will fulfill that desire, which means he cheated you, because the ultimate point of service is to get Krishna Prema and return to Vrindavan. So you may get Lova Bhuja Pratishtha in this world, big high position, many garlands, many things, power, wealth, you get all that. But if you don't get Krishna Prema, you are a loser, you have missed the point. You may get worshippers, followers, everything. If you don't get Krishna Prema, you have missed the point. So, therefore we have to be very careful what's going on in that consciousness, because some devotees don't understand that what keeps us going in devotional service is the quality of our consciousness. So if we have selfish mentality, then we will get caught into another network of the illusory energy. So another example is in the life of Ramanuja Acharya. Sometimes people take sannyas also, but they don't really understand the classroom again. And thereafter, Lova, Puja and Pratishtha. So Ramanuja Acharya had some Grihastha couple disciples who he favored very much. He liked them very much. He was a great, powerful sannyasi, Ramanuja Acharya. So one of his disciples was actually wondering, why is my guru honoring these grihasthas, these householders so much? And he's got so many sannyasi disciples, but he's not giving them so much favor as he's given to these householders. So Ramanuja Acharya understood his heart, and he told him, "Well, come with me one day." And when the sannyasis were taking bath in the river, he told him, just mix their cloth without them seeing you. Put this cloth there, take his cloth and put it there. Mix all their cloth there. Someone's danda this way, that way. You know, they put it, that devotee mixed everything and put it there. So when they came, they started fighting over this. His daughter, "No, this is my thing, this is my thing, no, this is my thing, no." They became like really bewildered. They forgot any etiquette. Everyone started pulling the other person's thing and trying to identify whose is whose, you know, and whatever, you know. So they became antagonistic towards each other, and that showed bhakti is not there. So he told him now to the disciple, "Look, you go to this householder's house, you can go and visit them." So he went there, and then he saw the wife sleeping. And Ramanuja Acharya told him, "You should steal something when you go there." So that devotee, he was also sannyasi. He went there, and he saw the wife sleeping, and he saw she's got some golden earrings. So he went very close, and he took one golden earring, and then she kind of felt something and you know, moved aside, and then he ran away because he felt maybe she'll see me. So he ran away with the one gold earring. So when the husband came back, The wife said, "Look, there is a problem in Namat. I think they have shortage of money, because one sannyasi came and he stole one of my earrings while I was sleeping." So, and the husband said, "What did you do when he took that earring?" And she said, "Well, I kind of sensed him. I saw him that he came in, but I just wanted to see what he'll do. So I just kept my eyes closed. So he took one of my earrings, and then when I felt that he is in need of something, I wanted to turn around so he can take the other one. But he became afraid and ran away." So Ramanuja Acharya showed the disciple actually how selfless were these householders. So sometimes devotees who take to renounced life, they may become affected by material greed and bewilderment. Therefore, they cannot maintain it. They cannot maintain it. And sometimes householders, supposedly they engage in material activities, accumulation, this, that, economic activities, artha, so on and so forth. But if they have the consciousness, everything belongs to Krishna, and I'm just trying to engage these things in Krishna's service, then this is even higher consciousness than a sannyasi who is after name and fame and wealth and position and prestige and honor. Or brahmachari, something like that. So, this is actually what we are learning from this example of Markandeya Rishi. He was completely beyond the mundane platform of Anamaya, Gyanamaya, Anamaya, Pranamaya, Gyanamaya, Anandamaya. He was completely focused on Vijnanamaya. He was on transcendental platform, therefore his austerity was not destroyed by the attacks of Cupid or the other personalities of greed and envy, as well as the beautiful celestial girls. So all of us, we are meant actually to become like that. Someone may say, "But you know, this is Markandeya Rishi. This is a very special person. He meditated for so long. He lived in 2 days of Lord Brahma. This is an extraordinary person." Someone can say, "Lord Jesus Christ was Nitya Siddha. Haridas Thakur was Brahma. Prahlad Maharaj was, you know, also very special soul." Someone may say all these things, but actually the fact is that they come to show us what we can become. It is not that we should think that I cannot become like this and I'll just do a little bit of bhakti like this. I'll hang around, take some prasadam, do some little seva and just hang out, and then Krishna will save me. No, we have to actually change the consciousness. We have to become completely eager to give up all selfish interest and to dedicate one's entire time, 24 hours, as it is emphasized in the Nectar of Instruction by Rupa Goswami, the essence of all advice. One should engage 24 hours in the service of Krishna. Number two, one should reside in Vrindavan. And number three, one should follow in the footsteps of pure devotees. In that way, one's mission in life will be accomplished. If these three things are there. If you utilize one's time 24 hours in the service of Krishna, even if you are a householder, you are working for Krishna. You are making money to facilitate Krishna's service, not for your own sense gratification. If you are a brahmachari and someone gives you a donation, you use it for Krishna, not for your sense gratification. So in that way, we don't get caught into materialistic endeavors and illusions. This is actually one of the tests. And if we pass all these tests, Krishna can give you so much, like Srila Prabhupada had so much opulence. In Bhagavad Gita ends like this: whenever there is the supreme archer, Arjuna, whatever there is the supreme mystic, Krishna, there is always extraordinary opulence, victory, morality, and power. So this is actually what will happen. But when all these things come, victory, power, opulence, whatever, it is not for you. It is for Krishna. And when you realize this, and when you use everything 24/7 for Krishna, then you've understood what this classroom is all about. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.
Any comments or questions? Well, that can be also a sentiment, and that sentiment can change into something else. So if one is just sentimental and moves in the brahmachari ashram in a sentimental mood, looking for sense gratification and trying to avoid the responsibility of household life or whatever, he will not be able to sustain it. No way. No. Well, the good thing is that he probably would have never moved into the ashram otherwise. So Krishna is giving him an opportunity to probably spend hopefully 1 month, hopefully a few days, maybe a month, maybe a year, hopefully, before he moves back into doing what he was doing. Because staying in the ashram is very powerful. And every person that stays in the ashram is tremendously blessed, because they are having the opportunity to directly engage in the service of Krishna and build themselves up for the future, whether they're going to enter into grihastha ashram or remain renunciate. They're going to build themselves up because they get the foundation of spiritual consciousness. So it is very beneficial. Sometimes for new devotees it's very crucial that they should move in the ashram, and they should stay for some time before they decide what to do. So I like the system of Srila Devamrita Maharaj in New Zealand. He has a very contemporary ashram. So when a new boy joins, he is facilitated in a very contemporary ashram for 2 years. And after that he decides whether he wants to be a brahmachari or he wants to marry. Sometimes they move into brahmachari ashram, they practice 3-4 years and they decide, no, I want to get married. So they get good training. So they will remain devotees for life, you see. But if one is sentimentalist, if someone is just not taking shelter of more senior devotees, the mind can say move in the temple, and tomorrow the mind can say move out. And because the mind is your guru, you follow. Any other comments? Yes,
when you mention about the prophet, attention, distinction of Prabhupada, Prabhupada always thought it is Gaura Mai, Masu Mai, spiritual master.
Yes.
He never thought it is important. Yes. And you also mentioned that when Prabhupada went to Bhuvaneshwar, actually Prabhupada had a feeling that the Western devotees are not allowed in Jagannath temple. So that was his main thing.
He felt very sad that the devotees were not allowed. But he also said, Haridas Thakur was also not allowed. So, you know, that doesn't mean you're not devotees, you see. So that is the system, but it's a corrupt system. Because I heard that some of the priests in Jagannath Puri, they actually eat fish and smoke bidis and all kind of things. So, you know, this really has got nothing to do with Vedic culture. So it's contamination. During Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time, things were very different. Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually was given responsibility of Jagannath Temple. And there was, I think, the previous person who was in charge was stealing money from Jagannath's temple. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually was given the opportunity to restore things and to manage the temple properly. So I'm sure in time this ban will be lifted. Prabhupada really wants it to happen. And even to this day I heard they are very offensive to Prabhupada, because Prabhupada is actually preaching in the West. They're offensive that we have Ratha Yatras throughout the whole year. They see everything from a material point of view. But actually they don't see the real purpose of Ratha Yatra is that you're actually helping the jiva to return to Krishna. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, one who does this is very dear to me. So who is actually on the right side? They don't understand really the Shastra. They are just dogmatic, they want to control. Again, Lobha Puja Pratishtha. That's all. So Prabhupada is very disturbed by these things. Therefore, he wanted our ISKCON society to be free of contamination. He wanted the devotees to be pure-hearted. Hare Krishna. Any other comment or question? So thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. I'm very grateful to be in your association, and I'm learning a lot from the Vaishnavas daily, and I'm looking forward to be able to be of some more service, Krishna willing. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki. Ananti kori Vaishnava vrinda ki jai. Jai Gaur Premanandi.